perfect. Bang on my chest if you think I'm perfect. Go ahead, bang on it.
No heart?
You gotta have heart. Miles and miles of heart.
This is Patchwork Heart Ministries' Young Catholics Respond, brought to you by Breadbox Media. Now, here's your host, Bill Snyder.
Thanks, Adam, and welcome to the program, everybody. I am Bill Snyder. This is Young Catholics Respond. I want to remind you that you can check out more about our ministry at our website, patchworkheart.org. Young Catholics Respond is part of Patchwork Heart Ministry, and we have so many things going on as part of our ministry. We keep growing and growing, and so we want you to keep your finger on the pulse of our ministry by checking us out on our website. Of course, we have Facebook and Twitter, too, so check us out and keep your finger on the pulse of our ministry. The flagship thing we do, though, is bring you each and every week a episode of Young Catholics Respond, and we're so blessed to be able to have this program and have an incredible lineup of guests and speakers and authors to talk to each and every week. And today is just one of my favorite people that I'm able to talk to once again. Her name is Kendra Von Esch. She is a speaker, TV news anchor, and author who has a passion to motivate others to deepen their relationship with God and the Catholic faith. Kendra, welcome to the program, and thank you so much for being here once again talking with me on Young Catholics Respond.
Hi, Bill. It's fabulous to be back. Thanks for having me again.
Of course. Of course. And so the last time we spoke, I always encourage our listeners to go back in the podcast feeds and check out previous episodes of Young Catholics Respond. And the last time we spoke, we talked a lot about prayer. We talked about, I think it was upcoming for Lent, actually, when we were talking. Now that Lent's over, some of us hit a Lenten hangover. Like, what do we do now? We're in the middle of this Easter season, or wrapping up this Easter season. So what do we do now?
Yeah, exactly. Well, if you're like me, and maybe you're not, but let me just tell you a little bit about my Lent, which I have to be really honest with you, Bill, was so powerful. I was deep into Lent. I had a couple things on my plate. So number one, I did it, and I'm so excited. If you could see me jumping up and down over here, pumping my fists in the air, I gave up wine, actually all alcohol, with the exception I did have a glass or two here and there on, you know, Easter Sundays and the feast days. But I actually stuck with it all the way through Lent. And this Lent was also a challenge for me because I wanted to spend time in deep contemplative prayer, meditation with God. And that takes time. And so I said, okay, I'm going to try and have an hour in adoration every day. And if you think I didn't screw that up for the Lent, you're crazy. I couldn't make that happen every single day. But in the beginning of Lent, it was amazing. And I was so in tune with the Holy Spirit. I could feel and see and hear and know that I was doing the will of God. And then Easter rolls around, all of my, you know, talks are kind of winding down for the Lenten season, and I'm super excited about Easter and the Easter season to celebrate, and I started freaking out. I'll be honest with you, I have new things coming up in my ministry that I have never done before. A membership club that I'm looking for to build a collaboration amongst people that are on the spiritual journey. I've got a couple new things, such as maybe a radio host filling in for some live radio stations and all that kind of stuff. And it just is kind of scary. When you go into new things in life and you have that unknown, that uncertainty, and you've never done it before, you kind of get freaked out. And I know that the minute I get this way, I should stop and go directly to God in prayer. I know this. Logically, I know this. But for 2 weeks after Easter came, I just did what I always did before, which is default back into productivity mode. Do, produce. And I honestly put God on the back shelf, like in the back seat, in the trunk. You know, I wasn't praying It was horrible. And you know, I know, you know, I know, you know, I can say that like a million times, but we know what we have to do, so why don't we do it? And so for me, it was a 2-week freak out fest. I was literally spiraling out of control. And the more I tried to do it myself, the worse it became. So that was when I had to stop the madness and go right back to God and say, what am I doing? I can't do this without you.
Yeah. You know, it's crazy. I think that society, I always used to liken it to the Dave Matthews Band song, Ants Marching, because society wants us to get so over-programmed to do things in this way, you know, and by the end of it, you just end up accomplishing nothing, right? Because you're just swept away with doing so much. And this is the a societal problem, right? This is the societal issue that we're trying to buck the trend, right? I mean, like, I can have somebody in the back of my Uber that says to me, oh, I've got to be there right now, and this is going on. And it's like, hey, you know what? I think the extra 30 seconds might let you take a deep breath and calm down. You know, I'm not going to run the red light for you. Sorry. And so, you know, like, what advice to young people that are out there? I mean, I kind of like, okay, Holy Spirit, give me something to tell these people, you know, to help them calm down or help them get through their day too. But what advice do you have for young people who are just swept away with that? I mean, it's, as you mentioned, it's so easy. Just, you can go from, you know, being contemplative and having prayer time and doing all that to something, one little thing disrupts it. So what do you do about it?
I think we just have to stop the minute it happens. And it's a practice. It's definitely something that you have to get used to. And who doesn't want to get that anxiety and panic and worry out of your body as fast as possible? But we have to stop ourselves from continuing to go down that path. So for me, it took a couple of weeks. And I kept thinking, I don't have time. I don't have time. Well, for me, another way to remember how beautiful life is when you do pray and you put God first, even though you've got 100 things on your to-do list, put God first. So I think about when I went back into adoration after Mass one morning. I almost didn't go to Mass that morning because I was working really hard trying to get some stuff done by a certain date. And I was walking by the Perpetual Adoration Chapel that was at my parish, and God kind of called me in. Kind of like, hey, why don't you come spend some time with me in here? And I, in my head, thought, no way. I got so much stuff to do. I cannot sit down and hang out with you, Jesus. I'm sorry. And then I stopped and I said, wait a minute. I'm going to go spend some time with you. And so I anticipated 15 minutes, but I actually stayed for the full hour because, again, I heard him stay with me longer. And then I left. I went home and I had a bunch of stuff. I told you, like 100 things on my list. I think I got 110 of them done. It was amazing, the amount of productivity and the peace that I felt. I was doing my taxes. I hate numbers. I hate budgets. I hate all that stuff. And here I am, like, not wigging out about it at all. And it was beautiful. So I think when we have those moments where we feel God and we feel that peace and we feel all those beautiful graces coming our way, to remember to keep that in the back of our memory so that when we are freaked out, we know, wait, we have to put God first. I think this culture, to your point, is insane. We don't know how to quiet our minds, and the technology in some cases is making it worse. I say I use my technology for the benefit of God, you know, like I've got my audio Bible on my phone and I'm able to pray my rosary and all these different things using the technology. But it is definitely a battle that we have to face every single day. So stop it the minute you feel it and remember the way you felt before when you had that peace and love praying with God.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right. I do think technology does have a large piece to do with it, as you mentioned. You know, I even in my personal experience, just this last couple of weeks, I found that, you know, I would always go, okay, well, I'm going to read the Bible on my phone because I've got the, you know, Bible, but I'll tell you on the phone, but I'll tell you what, when you pick up the actual Bible, like, you know, like you'll get a book and pick it up, like the hard copy of it, man, there's something different about it. It actually slows you down, you know? So there's a little tools, right? You can use little tools throughout your day, you know, to kind of slow you down. I mean, maybe, you know, if you're not reading the Bible, maybe the Bible apps are a wonderful thing to get you to start. And maybe if you're doing the Bible app thing on your phone, you know, try switching over to something more, you know, a little more calm, putting you in that environment, right? I mean, that the adoration is a great thing. I always used to tell my high school students, even if it's for 5 minutes, stop in for 5 minutes and just say hi to Jesus and then leave. You don't have to spend the whole hour, but if you're not spending any time, spend 5 minutes and see what that looks like every week for you. I mean, there's just so many amazing tools and things we can do, but we have to do them, right? We have to actually do them, and that's the hardest part, you know. And I think, as you mentioned, you know, a lot of times the drive to do these things gets overshadowed. But then that, you know, desire wells up again, like, oh, God's calling you into the Adoration Chapel. There it is. He's calling you again. You know, and just listen to that one little voice. It can turn everything around. And so what happened after you turned it around after those 2 weeks? Are you back on track?
Yes, I am back on track. I still have my moments, but I'm stopping and immediately, honestly, I'm tapping into the Holy Spirit. I have this new devotion to the Holy Spirit lately. Ever since I rested in the Spirit, some say slayed by the Spirit, slain by the Spirit, back in November at a conference, my life has just been changed because I still have that Holy Spirit liquid love, this peace, this joy, this supernatural stuff that I can't explain in words. That's why I'm saying stuff. I wish I could give you a pill or a bottle that you could drink that can give you this amazing supernatural grace, but I can't. Only God can. So it's one of those things where, yeah, it's a choice, but all we have to do, the Holy Spirit is with us every single second of every single day. And if we just wake up in the morning and say, come Holy Spirit, come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. So I am partnering. I've got Mary's hand in my left. I've got the Holy Spirit's hand in my right. And I am just asking them to help guide me and lead me in the best way possible and to help me defend myself. Because to be honest with you, I don't know. Am I being attacked? Right? I mean, I know the devil isn't real happy about me doing all this work for God, but at the same time, I know that the minute I do begin to heartfully pray and ask for guidance and peace and the gifts and fruits of the Holy Spirit, my body physically changes. I mean, everything from the head, top of my head, down to my toes, I become completely relaxed, like a nice warm waterfall of peace. So yeah, back on track, and it's really just, it's a decision. And the more I get myself away from other things that are taking me away from God. So let me say, yes, my work was taking me away from God. And my work is God. I mean, my ministry is God. How can I do it without him, right? And that was the crazy thing. And so it actually made me think, am I doing God's work if I'm not with him throughout every day and starting my morning with him? So that's kind of where I have to reconnect and reconvince, I guess, myself. Like, no, stop. Don't work right now and spend time with God and ask him what he wants you to work on and all of that kind of stuff. So it's definitely a practice and it's a choice. And I keep going back to the only way you're going to see, hear, and feel God throughout your day and know that you're doing his will is if you spend that time in prayer with him. It's not negotiable. It's something that, you know, you have to do. Otherwise, you are living your life. And good luck at that, because I tried it. 44 years. It wasn't really all that successful.
Oh my gosh. Well, Kendra, it's such an awesome conversation. I always enjoy talking to you. I have to take that short break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with you. And just got a great opportunity to share more with our listeners about how to tap into that grace of the Holy Spirit. Because, man, And that's, it sounds like it really impacted you, changed your life. So right back after these messages here on Young Catholics Respond, I'm Bill Snyder.
The words spoken by Our Lady of Guadalupe to Juan Diego nearly 500 years ago are almost too good to be true. Asking that a temple be built at the site of her apparition, she promised that here I will give all my love, my compassion, my help, and my protection to all those who love me, cry to me, seek me, and who have confidence in me. Here I will listen to their weepings and alleviate all their sufferings, necessities, and misfortunes. My name is Alan Napleton, and I live in Dallas, Texas. I have visited her shrine in Mexico City dozens of times, bringing my own petitions, and have found Our Lady to be true to her word. Over the years, I have brought hundreds of pilgrims to this holy place without incidents, and have now founded Viva Guadalupe, a nonprofit that provides safe and inexpensive pilgrimages to Our Lady's shrine. If you would like to take our Blessed Mother up on her promise and learn more about how you can visit this special place of grace, please visit vivaguadalupe.org for more information.
Judy Hare was a bankrupt, homeless, drug-addicted college dropout on the brink of divorce, but is now a seminary graduate and devoted wife and mother of four children. What happened? Find out in her autobiography, Shattered: How God Restored My Heart and Life. Her journey of faith has been called brutally honest, truly inspiring, profound, heartbreaking, and life-changing. Shattered is available now for only $15 on her website, judyhare.com, on amazon.com, or at your local Catholic bookstore. As Judy says, it is never too late to become the person you deserve and desire to be. So stop wishing for change and start doing something about it by reserving your copy of Shattered today.
Patchwork Heart Ministry is committed to sowing hope into broken hearts by helping young people encounter the love of Jesus Christ and His Catholic Church through prayer, storytelling, and media initiatives. We invite you to prayerfully consider supporting this mission financially. Mail your tax-deductible donation to Patchwork Heart Ministry at P.O. Box 563, Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, zip code 53147. Or visit patchworkheart.org to donate online. That's Patchwork Heart Ministry, P.O. Box 563, Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, 53147, or online at patchworkheart.org. Do you want to keep your finger on the pulse of Patchwork Heart Ministry? Follow our monthly blog, Written on Our Hearts. Simply go to patchworkheartministry.blogspot.com and click subscribe, and follow the on-screen instructions. That's patchworkheartministry.blogspot.com, then click subscribe.
Hi everybody, Bill Snyder here. Just want to thank you for listening to this episode of Young Catholics Respond. And as a founder of Patchwork Heart Ministry, we have so much more going on than just our podcasts. Check it out at patchworkheart.org.
This is Martha Fernandez-Sardina with your Love Minute, brought to you by RememberYouAreLoved.com. What's the big deal about love? The big deal about love is that we all need love, and we are more fulfilled than ever when we give love. So we must both get love and give love. We must get love from God first and foremost, because He teaches us how to love, because God is love. And then we must give love the way that God gives love. Now, this is very possible because we were created with the capacity to receive love and give love. It's also expected. That's why we have the commandment to love God with our whole being and our neighbor as ourself. It's logical. If we have the ability to love, why don't we exercise it? If we have the ability to receive love, why don't we open our hearts to receive it? So let's get love and give love. For more on love, find us at facebook.com/rememberyouareloved. And remember, you are loved.
Your heart is always beating, but you never have to think about it.
Welcome back to Young Catholics Respond. Once again, Bill Snyder.
Welcome back to this episode of Young Catholics Respond, everybody. I'm Bill Snyder. And I just want to remind you that you can get early ministry updates from us by joining us on Patreon and becoming our patron. If you do so, we'll release to you special updates about our ministry and maybe even a radio show topic or personality a few days early before we get to the general public. So go to Patreon and then also search Patreon for Patchwork Heart Ministry, patreon.com, Patchwork Heart Ministry. Right now, though, we're having a great conversation with Kendra Von Esch. She is a Catholic speaker, TV host, radio host, got lots of amazing things in her ministry happening these days. And I, Kendra, you left us off right before the break talking about, you know, trying to do life and live life on your own, and it doesn't work so great. And then you're wanting to engage with God and engaging with Him and then feeling God's presence through the Holy Spirit. And what changes, you know, how does your life change when the Holy Spirit takes a grip of it and the, you know, the desires of the heart, you know, all of the good things that we want to do, we want to maybe have a family and, you know, get married and do all these things. How does that change for a young adult when they begin following the heart of Christ and the Holy Spirit?
So, man, it was a completely different way of living for me. And in the beginning, this is for all those folks out there that struggle with prayer. I didn't know how to pray. Again, like I said, 2013, this is on previous podcasts, but for people who don't know my journey, I came back to the faith Easter of 2013. And I really had no clue about Catholicism or had a relationship with God. I mean, my prayers were one-way asking trains, right? It was, hey, God, can you do this? Can you do that? Can you give me this? Can you give me that? I had no clue that there is this deep desire for God to have a relationship with us, which means communication equals prayer. So that means a communication is also a dialogue. So we have to be quiet sometimes and listen to Him. And that was the fundamental change in my life. Because as I was, you know, growing in my faith, I'm going to Mass every week, I'm starting to feel differently. I went to that 26-year confession and all of that, and graces were flowing into my life, but I had no idea what they were. All I knew was I had this amazing joy and this peace and love, and I was not necessarily getting up every morning and starting my day in prayer. But as I matured and found myself a spiritual director and really wanted to make sure that I could do God's will and can see and hear it, I mean, that was what was killing me in the first couple years of my journey. Like, how come everybody else can hear and see God and I can't? You know, like, how do I know I'm doing His will? What am I supposed to do? So as I'm, you know, going down my own struggles and challenges with a prayer life, I finally found the key. The key is, again, to start your morning. I don't know how anybody can get out there and think that they can be hand in hand with God without starting it with Him. So that's my first thing, is to be silent for 15 minutes in the morning. Once I get, you know, my husband out to work and it's just me, that's the time that I need to just be quiet. And this is the biggest step. If I do this, then the rest of my day is going to be centered in God. But if I grab my laptop and I start opening it and I'm going to read the daily readings from the USCCB email that I get, I know I'm going to get sidetracked from that 15 minutes of silence that I want to start my day with. And then you start feeling. Mine is very, it's a feeling. It's a movement of my heart. I don't hear voices necessarily. Sometimes I do, you know, in my head. But when I start asking God, okay, how do I serve you today? So if I start my day knowing that I'm serving God and putting my hand out to both Mary and the Holy Spirit to take me through the day, I'm pretty sure as I check throughout the day, I'm going to get signals, feelings that I'm going in the right direction, that I am doing God's will. Or I will be paying attention to people around me I'll be paying attention to books or media that come my way, because quite frankly, I get talked to all day long. Half the time I'm not listening, but when I am listening, I can see, feel, and hear, and I just walk through the doors. I just, okay, I'm going to do it. And sometimes I say, not right now, Holy Spirit. I don't really want to say anything to that guy over there. You know, I mean, I get prompted a lot to say things to people I don't know. And to go up and wish them a good day or something like that, to share the joy and the light of Christ. And in some cases, it's also to have a little bit more deep conversation with someone. And a lot of the times I push that off. So I think it's just a matter of really asking God all day, every day, am I doing your will? Am I doing what you want? And then also bringing your desires and your needs to him. And you'll see every now and then you'll be like, whoa, that was God talking to me through that person, because that was exactly what I needed to hear when I needed to hear it. Sorry, that was a bit of a rambling answer.
No, it's all good. It's all good. The thing that stuck out to me the most is that, you know, begin your day with intention, 15 minutes of quiet, and that practice leads to a deepening of the faith, right? And when you're centered on Christ and on God and with the Holy Spirit, it leads you to have those conversations and to recognize him more. You know, so that's an amazing thing to be able to just give that little bit of wisdom to somebody and realize what, you know, it sounds like a bad Geico commercial, an insurance commercial, but, you know, 15 minutes can truly, you know, change your life, right? Right?
I'm going to have to borrow that one, my friend. I like it.
It sounds like a bad insurance commercial, but it's true. 15 minutes or less, I would say 15 minutes or more, could change your life. And that's awesome. So talk to us a little bit about what you have going on in your ministry. These episodes always go by so fast. And I know that you have many ways for young people and all people to tap into tap into their prayer life and tap into getting into a regular routine and developing that part of their spirituality.
Yeah, and I just want to say I've been there, done that. That's why my passion is to help others struggle through, you know, with this struggle through prayer. So I put together a 40-day prayer course, and it's a video prayer course. So it's me in your inbox 3 minutes a day, and quite frankly, it's a 15-minute a day commitment for you as a person who's going through the course. And it's just, you know, spend your 15 minutes, start your day with God, and then you have a focus for that day. And it's 40 days. It's called Go Deep 40 Days with Prayer, Love, and Grace. And I guarantee you, at the end of these 40 days, you will have felt, heard, seen God, and you're going to start realizing that putting prayer into your life as a regular practice is not that difficult. And if you struggle with focus and time and you're too busy, I address all of that in the program as well. That's why it is a 15 or more. The more you put into it, the more you're going to get out of it. But a minimum of 15 minutes, that's it. I mean, come on. That's nothing. We could do that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So totally. And I want to remind listeners to visit your website too, because you do have a bunch of great stuff. It's KendraVonEsch.com, right? And so just go right to the website. You'll find all the courses. You'll find all the stuff. And Kendra, of course, if someone's listening to this, you're also out speaking in parishes and doing your ministry. You've got the book as well, right?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. So you can find that on Amazon.com, and it's called Am I Catholic? And I'm working on a second one, so pray for me.
Yes, absolutely. Well, Kendra, I can't thank you enough for being here today with me, and thank you so much for talking to us and giving us hope and really giving us a way to pray. Thanks so much for being here.
Oh, God bless you, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Well, this has been an episode of Young Catholics Respond. Until next time, from all of us here at Patchwork Heart Ministry, I'm Bill Snyder. Keep beating to your Catholic heart.
You've been listening to Young Catholics Respond, a radio initiative of Patchwork Heart Ministry. To learn more about our ministry and program, visit us at patchworkheart.org Or, to get exclusive access and early ministry updates, become our patron on Patreon by searching for Patchwork Heart Ministry.